Today we rejoice in this baptism of these two beautiful daughters of the Mount family, and are so grateful that now Luella and Elowen are now in the body of Christ Church. They are newly made saints, yes, and what a blessing that we're able to see the increase of the body of Christ, the church, in this beautiful moment, in this holy place. We are now in the season of All Saints, and we remember the great examples of the faith in this time, those who have gone before us, who show us the way, and we see how in their own time and place they bring forth the love of God into this world. I was in a conversation recently with someone who had suffered in their adolescence and teenage years, living through war, and after living through that experience, decided to dedicate themselves to the process of peace. And so they educated themselves and for 10 years served as an advisor to a military attaché, a military base that was set in a country to maintain as peacekeeper. And after 10 years of striving for that, they came to a place of despair. Not that peace was not achieved, there was so much corruption, and it burned them out. And so in that conversation I said, well, it sounds like you came to a place where you are burned out. And they said, yeah, I'm burned out now. I can't trust anybody. You know, people are so corrupt. And I said, well, I think I can agree with you that we're not supposed to put our trust in man. But what about putting your trust in God? And there was a pause and an opening. And I began to talk about the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect man, the God-man, the one in whom is no sin. You cannot find anything wrong in Christ. There is no misdeed. There is no treachery. There is no falsehood. There is no sin in the one who is sinless, that came to redeem us from sin. And so there's one you can trust. And think about those who follow him, right? There are some, there are some who break through. I mean, if you think about it, if the world is full of corrupt people, then are we all determined then to be corrupt? Being the children of corrupt people and in a corrupt society, are we all destined and determined to be that way? The amazing thing about the saints is that they break through and show that one does not have to follow the ways of the world. And so I mentioned in the in this conversation, a conversation I had once with Bishop Morris, the founder of our province, who was very taken by the words of a philosopher who had written a history of the human race. And he was interviewed for a magazine article, and they asked him, what really stands out in your study of the human race? He said, well, after all this study of all the generations of our human history, I've come to realize that all tyrants are the same. There's just an incredible repetition of the same rape and pillage and murder, and you know, it's just the same story over and over. But, he said, what's amazing are the saints. They really speak to me, because each one of them is unique in their person. They're not the same. And indeed, if you get to know the saints, we're in the octave of All Saints, and you begin to find out who they are, you'll see there's a great difference between St. Francis of Assisi from, say, St. Catherine of Siena or St. Jerome or any of the saints that you could find, St. Mark, St. Luke. You begin to see their personalities emerge. The more they love God, the more they become themselves. And they are the ones who break through and bring love into the world. Now, we see that in a very special way as they live out what our Lord instructs us by parable in the lesson we have today, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Here is where there is one that has received a great mercy. He owes a debt he could never repay. He begs for mercy from his sovereign. And not only is he released from captivity, but he is released from the debt. It's all erased. But he goes out and finds a fellow servant that owes him a token amount, grabs him by the throat, and demands that he be paid. He will not show mercy, even though he has experienced a great mercy. And so he's brought back before the court, He's rebuked by the king, and the original penalty is brought back upon him. And so will my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart do not forgive everyone their offenses. It's a very serious teaching here. It shows the forgiveness as a central act of our Christian life. We follow the Lord, and he will show us how. The Lord gives us the command, and he will give us power to fulfill the command. Remember the great phrase from St. Augustine, I mentioned a few weeks ago, that God gives what he commands. So if he commands that we should show mercy, forgive others their offenses, forgive our enemies, he will give us the power and ability to do that. And he gives what he commands. We see also that Jesus, who is the truth incarnate, is one that speaks the truth and fulfills it by his life. So he is speaking and acting truth in the fullness of the incarnation. Truth has become one of us in Jesus Christ. And so we see that as in the remarkable way that he forgives those who are murdering him on the cross, he forgives them from the cross. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We see the mercy of God in Christ, in his suffering, speak the words of forgiveness and compassion that he shows toward those who are harming him, killing him. We see this also in the lives of the saints. So Saint Stephen is a great example of one who lives out this truth as well. Saint Stephen, the first martyr of the church, and we have a window of the Saint Stephen in our side chapel. He is one who prays as he is being stoned to death that the Lord would not lay this sin to their charge. Now remember, he looks up to heaven first, sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father standing, receives strength from on high, then speaks the words of forgiveness of those who are stoning him. There is in Christ, in St. Stephen, this immediacy to their forgiveness of the ones who are harming them, and it shows the beauty of that ability to bring light into the world. Here is a very different picture than the ways of the world. There is no returning railing for railing, insult for insult, threat of retribution or vengeance for the harm. Instead, there is a release to God that he would be the judge. We hear this in the teaching of St. Paul in his second letter to Timothy in the fourth chapter, when he speaks about, we heard this when Father Gassatura preached a few weeks ago, about St. Luke. Luke showed steadfastness in his support of the ministry of St. Paul as companion to him. Only Luke is with me. And St. Paul, in that second letter to Timothy, speaks about one who has done him harm. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. He says, the Lord reward him according to his works. And watch out for him. He has greatly withstood our words. He caused me great harm. And he's greatly withstood our words. So when St. Paul says, the Lord reward him according to his works, does that sound like forgiveness to you? That he's forgiven Alexander the coppersmith? I'll tell you, it is forgiveness, because from his heart, he's releasing this man to God to do justice. He's letting him go. He's not holding on to him anymore. He's not grabbing him by the throat. He doesn't say to Timothy, next time you see Alexander the coppersmith, get him for me, or give him double. Or there's no animosity toward Alexander the coppersmith. You see that he's released him to God, and now he is giving warning that the same thing that happened to him won't happen to his protege, to Timothy. And so there is this solemn warning, not a bad idea. If you think about the command of forgiveness, perhaps we could go back to the parable of the unforgiving servant. Here he's been forgiven a debt he could never repay. He then goes out, and it, of course, typifies our situation. We've been forgiven a debt we could never repay. We have offended the Most High God, and there is no way that we could ever repay that debt, never repair the breach. But God himself in the person of his Son has reconciled us to the Father through his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. We are now the saints who are washing our robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Sanctified by Christ now, We are coming into a place, we have come into a place of liberty. So we've been forgiven a debt we could never repay. But then that unforgiving servant goes out, finds someone that owes him, and he grabs him by the throat. Is he going to release the offender? No, he has him cast into prison till he can pay the debt. In the same way, we are challenged. Are we going to forgive those who have offended us? Are we going to release them and forgive them? If we're generous like Peter, we'll say, yeah, I'll do it till seven times. And Jesus says, no, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. We are to let them go, release them, release them to God who will do justice. It'd be the same as if that man had found the one that owed him the trifling sum, and instead of grabbing him by the throat, said, hey, remember, you owe me, you know, that money. And the man would say, I can't pay it back. And then if he was willing to release him and let him go, and now there's no more debt, just like he had experienced this great mercy, he shows mercy. But say the man turns back around and says, okay, well, if I don't owe you that 10 bucks, can I borrow 10 more bucks? And he says, no. He doesn't have to be tricked again. He doesn't have to trust the man with that again. There is a consequence to the behavior. But in terms of showing mercy, he releases him and lets him go. So here is the wisdom of St. Paul to us. He's, you know, this man's done him great harm. He lets Timothy know the Lord will reward him according to his works. We can do that today. If there's some ancient grudge that we're still thinking about someone who has offended us, today, right now, in this holy place, we can release them to God to do justice. But how long are we going to hold on to this? If we're still remembering the grade school bully, if we're still thinking about the business deal that went south, if we're still remembering the treachery of someone who betrayed us, but it's years ago, right? Now is the time to release them to God to do justice. Let them go. Doesn't mean we have to trust them again in that same way, but we show mercy. God has shown us mercy. We show mercy. In that way, we are among the saints who break through with the light and the love of grace, showing mercy into a place that does not expect mercy. I heard it said once that in sanctification, the time between the sin and repentance gets shorter and shorter. And so when a person, as they get used to being with God, in God, living for God, as they miss the mark in sin, it's less and less time between the sin and repentance. That shortens. Think about the prodigal son. He takes a long time. After he's wasted his substance in riotous living, he doesn't then repent, turn around, and come home. No, he goes deeper in. He puts himself in the service of a stranger, goes into a foreign country. He has to go all the way to the pig pen and be so hungry he would eat what the pigs are eating before he comes to his senses, and then goes home in repentance, turns back around. Right? That's a long timeline. But as one becomes more and more sanctified, that timeline becomes shorter. Until after they sin, they realize with God activating their conscience, I'm not right with God, I repent. And then they come back into the right place with God, having received forgiveness. So we are to practice that. That's to be part of our faith, a very quick repentance. And indeed, so practice in virtue that we will learn even to avoid the near occasions of sin, not to put ourselves in a place where we're very likely to slip and slide into rebellion. Well, I think it's the same thing could be said with forgiveness. That the more we are with the one who is merciful, the more we allow him to, the one who indwells us, to live through us, the quicker we become at forgiving the offense. And the saints will show us that that can be coterminous with the offense. Jesus shows us from the cross. St. Stephen shows us in his martyrdom. And St. Dorothy, we have a window of her in our chapel, St. Dorothy shows us that example too. One who is willing to show forgiveness even while the harm is being done, to release them to God right away, and to transcend, to see what the sinner cannot see. The offender cannot see the reality of what's happening. The saint sees it and invites them up higher. And that is the the leaven that leavens the lump. This is the grace that is flowing in the world through the church. This is what we pray for these two newly baptized souls, that in their life they will manifest this same kind of mercy in the world. Consider the example of St. Dorothy. St. Dorothy is a virgin martyr. She was a victim of the Diocletian persecution in the 3rd century in what is modern-day Turkey. And she had suffered the loss of her parents to martyrdom. Her mother and father were Christians who were killed for their faith. And she was orphaned at the age of 13. And it was customary in that time for her to come under the protection of somebody that would then provide for her. And the Roman governor, the same who had brought the execution of her parents, said to Dorothy that he would now be her protector, and that he would make sure she had provision, and that he would arrange for her marriage so that she could be, you know, enter back into a proper pagan life and forget all this Christianity stuff. And Dorothy announced to him that she could not be given in marriage because she was already married. She was a spouse of Jesus Christ, and she refused to comply. Well, the great difficulty for the Roman Empire with Christians is that they claim to have higher authority than the emperor. And so she called on that higher authority, and it infuriated the governor. And so he had a plan. He said, well, you'll wait for a while. And he put her in prison. And he sent there two women who had renounced Christ because of the threat of persecution, and gave them the charge that they should bring Dorothy into her sane mind, that she, you know, she has to understand, you know, she's going to end up dead if we don't do something. Go convince her otherwise. And here were two women that had forsaken Christ to save their skins. And in the prison cell, they were so moved by Dorothy's zeal for Christ that they reconverted and came along with her into the punishment of martyrdom. Well, the governor, seeing that that didn't work, he brought the penalty upon Dorothy. And she was subject to torture, and then she was sentenced to execution. And on the way to the holding cell for execution, she was paraded through the streets. And there was a man there, a prosecutor, in our time we'd call him that, who had brought evidence against her and won the prosecution. And now he was seeing her get her just deserts as she was unfaithful to the Roman idea. And he taunted her as she was brought past him to her place, to the holding place for execution. And he said, ah, Dorothy, there you are. I hear you're married to this Jesus in paradise. Well, when you get there, send me some flowers and fruit. Dorothy, when she got to this holding cell, was consoled, strengthened, and blessed by an angel that appeared that had a basket of fruit and flowers. And it was the dead of winter. There were no fruits and flowers. You know, we're used to having fruits and flowers all year long, but that's in the modern age with transportation, refrigeration. No, this is when there were no leaves on the trees. It was the dead of winter. There were no fruits, no flowers. And there was a little boy, an angel, that appeared that had a basket of fruit and flowers. And she was strengthened by this in the spirit. And she said straight away to that angel, go to the prosecutor's house and give him this gift. And so that little boy knocked on the door of the prosecutor. And when he opened it and saw this gift of fruit and flowers, he converted to Christ. And he followed Dorothy as one who was brought into the glorious company of the martyrs. So we see here the ones who break through, who are not determined by the ways of the world, who are not seeking vengeance and retribution. We see the ones who are willing to release others in forgiveness and show mercy. Show mercy even in the time of their suffering. We see it in Christ. We see it in St. Stephen. We see it in the life of St. Dorothy, whom we remember today in the octave of All Saints. And may we be so inspired that the time between the offense and our showing forgiveness shortens, in our life, that we manifest the love of God, His light, His grace, His peace into this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.